You had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,000 and carried no balance from day to day. In other words, at the end of the day, the cash that you did not draw out of that account would be canceled. What would you do if you were allowed to use $86,000 a day, only if you drew it out? Would you do so? Well, you have such a bank. It's called the Bank of Time. And every day, you have 86,400 seconds to use. If you don't use them, they're canceled out at the end of the day. Each day opens a new account with you. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours and mine. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow. On this first day of 2012, I have been directed to use the text found in the opening reading from Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be paging through there in a Bible study this evening. And while you're finding Ephesians, I'd like to incorporate 2 Timothy 3:16 in the outline. I'm sure you're familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Scripture is profitable for, number one, doctrine, number two, reproof, number three, correction, and number four, instruction in righteousness. There's often an overlap or a combination of these elements of Scripture within a passage. For example, let's consider the text of the message on redeeming the time. If that command is profitable, it is, it's part of Scripture, then it will have all the elements of doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Let's extract those elements from this portion of Scripture this evening and enter the new year challenged, committed, and changed in our use of time. First of all, what is the doctrine here? The command to redeem the time is set in the context of a letter that is written to the church of Jesus Christ. Paul reveals the mind and the will of God for the church in a doctrinal and instructional manner. It is a glorious worldwide church. Paul entertains various teachings for believers who are part of this redeemed family of God. This family is to live in unity and peace with God and each other. One of the themes within the book is how to walk in the Christian life. There are six commands by Paul in the book of Ephesians on how to walk. I'd like to briefly point out the six verses in Paul's letter that tell us how to walk. And we could say that this is doctrine, instruction. The first verse, is in chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Condensing that, walk in good works. As a believer, that is our responsibility. In fact, all of these are imperative sentences. They give a command. The second is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk as a good representation of the church, of your master. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The third is found in Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Condensing that, walk not in the vanity of your mind. It's not about you. It's not about what you want, what you will, what you think. That's pride. It's about what God wants, what he thinks, what he wants, what's his will. The fourth is found in Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Fifthly, Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. And the sixth instance is in Ephesians 5:15, right prior to our text of the evening. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We are to walk circumspectly. Now, circumspectly, let me explain that. We don't use that often, do we? It's a word that means carefully or diligently. The same Greek word is used in Matthew 2:8, where Herod told the wise men, go and search diligently. Same word. For the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. We are to walk diligently, carefully. Don't leave a stone unturned. One of the ways we do that is to redeem the time. Under this sixth command on how to walk, this doctrinal theme of walking in the Christian life as representatives of the Church of Jesus Christ, we want to expand on the theme of redeeming the time. Paul, in the next two verses, says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we consider doctrine, the broader context of the book, and how this fits into that. Secondly, this scripture has the element of reproof. Doctrine, reproof. It shows us where we are wrong. Wasting time is wrong. Not walking carefully is wrong. Any time spent in prohibited activities mentioned earlier in the chapter is wrong. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. These are all mentioned as wrong. Paul gives reproof when he says, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's reproof. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's the language of reproof. Don't walk as fools. In today's vernacular, don't walk stupidly. Redeem the time. But you know something? Paul does not leave it there. He does more than expose sin and wrongdoing. A prophet may have the tendency to do just the exposing of sin. And it is needful to lovingly point the way to correction. Paul does more than send people on a guilt trip. He tells them how their action can be corrected. And that's our third point of the evening, correction. Correction tells us how to get right. How to get our life straightened out. Doctrine, reproof, correction. And so Paul goes on in Ephesians 5:16 saying to redeem the time because the days are evil. Redeem means to buy up or rescue from loss. We often hear that word used in what Christ did for us. He redeemed us. We were lost. And he paid the price. And we were set free, bought back from loss. What does it mean to apply this word to time? Redeem the time. Well, maybe this saying will help. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Just like the bank account we mentioned in the opening. Wasting time and misusing time for self and sin is wrong and needs to be corrected. How then do we buy up or rescue time from loss? Now, we can sit back and watch minutes or hours or days go by and not do anything wrong necessarily, but we have just allowed time to vanish. And so in order to buy up the time, to rescue it from loss, we have to do something. First of all, there's the implication that we must be very careful how we live because our time on earth is limited. David wrote in Psalm 39:4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. We are only a heartbeat, a breath away from death. Any one of us here, whether young or old, we are frail. Moses wrote in Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10, for all our days are passed away. In thy wrath we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I know women do not like to necessarily tell their age. And we're not going to ask any women here this evening to tell their age, but are there any brothers here that have, by reason of strength, reached 80 years old? I thought Brother Fred would raise his hand. He's a blessed man. He's living beyond the allotted, you might say, average time. But you know, even though you're young, I cannot bring myself to say young anymore and put myself in that classification. But age is no guarantee of tomorrow. In fact, the Bible tells us not to count on tomorrow, because tomorrow may not come for you or for me. All we have to do is think back. And I know what it was when I was younger, 70 or 80 years, even now, seems like a long, long time. In fact, I can remember when I thought anyone over the age of 40 was really old. I really actually thought that, but no longer. It's all rather relative, isn't it? 40 now seems almost young. And 60, still getting up there, but 60 is so much younger now than back when I was a teen. We know that our time on earth is valuable because it's very limited, it's uncertain, and it's very short. You talk to someone who is, talk to Brother Fred after the service. Ask him if those 80 years seem like a long time at this point. I remember my grandpa telling me, and he was around the same age. It just seems like yesterday when I was young. It went so fast. And so how do we redeem the time? We make the most out of every opportunity. The days are evil. There is a lot out there to distract us and gobble up our time. Jesus said that Satan is a thief and a robber. And one of the things he tries to rob from us is our time, because he knows it's very precious. Every time we waste time, we are in reality throwing away part of our life, because our life is made up of time. And so we work 40 hours a week. We have just spent a fraction of our life in exchange for the money we get for working. The Lord just laid a burden on my heart this morning, and this message is for me. In my meditation, he brought to mind the wasted time of my life. And I was numbering my days and realized that compared to a normal lifespan, I'm getting toward the end. And that made me think, I need to have a desire to make every minute count. We must also realize that it's not just sin that makes demands on our time and wastes our time. Sometimes even good things can make demands. Brother Jeff, in his message this morning, mentioned Mary and Martha. Jesus sat down to teach, and where was Mary? She was sitting right there at his feet, drinking in every word and relishing it. Meanwhile, Martha was out there in the kitchen preparing dinner. You know the story. Martha was cumbered or distracted with much serving. We are to serve, aren't we? Doesn't the Bible say we are to serve one another? But what was Martha's motive? You know, doing good things is not always right. Martha got worried and upset. And Jesus lovingly pointed out to her that very fact and then said, one thing is needful. What was that one thing? I think you can sum it up in one word: relationship. It's not a sin to fix a meal in the kitchen. No, of course not. But here's the problem. She was so preoccupied with what she was doing that she didn't realize God was in the living room. She was missing out on a relationship. You know, we can make the same mistake almost every day. We get so caught up in the here and now, and we fail to deal with the eternal, the things that last forever. Redeeming the time means we will maintain our relationship with our Lord and Master. It means we will maintain our relationships with our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, the family of God, and our earthly family. We could say more, but let's go on to the last point. We considered and extracted from this scripture doctrine, reproof, correction, and now instruction in righteousness. This instruction is in the idea of training or education, even discipline. The Bible will give us training. It will discipline us. It will educate us in right living. And the specific question is, how do we put into practice the right use of time? And we got 86,400 seconds. That seems like a lot, but a day is gone, and what we do with all those seconds. Verse 17, wherefore, we just left, redeem the time, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What do you think the Lord's will is for you in this coming year? Do you think he wants your mind saturated with worries and anxieties so that you can't think spiritual thoughts? Do you think he wants your calendar so crowded that you don't have time for the important things? More time is wasted not in hours, but in minutes. A bucket with a small hole in the bottom gets just as empty as a bucket that is deliberately kicked over. The water is all lost. In one, it's just a minute at a time. The other is maybe an hour or gone in just a second. You know the acronym WWJD? What that stands for? What would Jesus do? Talking about doing God's will. Is that practice? If we would do that every time we make a decision, would that be understanding the will of the Lord? WWJD is a good guide for right use of time, but Christ's ultimate mission on earth was different than ours. So our minute-by-minute decisions or daily decisions may be somewhat different. Granted, we are to emulate the character qualities of Christ. We are to be Christ-like. In that goal, it is God's will. But we may ask, how am I to understand what God's will is for me? What is my purpose in life? What should I set as life goals? How does that translate into my management of time? How much am I allowed to use for recreation or relaxation? Is this activity permitted? Is that okay? And for each of you, it may be different. The key is to live with a yearning for God. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. And as you develop that relationship with God, you will learn to know God. And you will understand more and more what He wants you to do. If you know a person, a spouse, a good friend, you will know many times what they're thinking, or at least have a general idea. You will know what they might say, how they will respond. You will know what they want, what they like. If you understand someone, you will understand what they want, what their will is. If you know God, you will understand His will for you. Brother Robert mentioned Psalm 143:8, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. How should I walk in your will? Cause me to know that, God, for I lift up my soul unto you. It's surrender. Keep in mind, God's will for me in practical everyday matters is quite different most of the time than His will for you. The key is to draw close to God, and He promises what? He will draw close to us. In that close relationship, we can grow in our understanding of God's will. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In review, number one, doctrine, instructional teaching. As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, see that you walk carefully and diligently. Number two, reproof, pointing out wrongdoing. Don't be a fool in fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness. Number three, correction, how to do right. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. And number four, instruction in righteousness, training in right living. Understand what the will of the Lord is. God bless you.